Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, name 774, Chatur Gatihi. Chatur means four, and Gati means goal, is prominent meaning. And Sri Parashara Bhatta says that the name Chatur Gatihi refers to Vishnu being the path, the way to achieve all the four goals desired by his devotees. But he doesn't specify what the four goals are, which makes us think that out of his kindness, he has given something for his subsequent followers in disciplic succession to elaborate on that, which, of course, they do. One obvious understanding, he is in the form of the four Purusharthas, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. He gives this, or that will come in another name just coming up. He's the giver of the four goals, but he is that personality. He is that ultimate truth who is ultimately to be searched out for, and that will come to in an upcoming name, Chaturvedavit. You see, all the names there are overlaying and underlapping and intertwining meanings. So I won't get into that just now, but the goal of all the Vedas, which after all the four Purusharthas of Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, that's all based on the Vedic knowledge, although the Mimamsakas will say this moksha, forget moksha. We're interested in dharma, artha, and kama, not moksha. And then the Mimamsakas, the Purva Mimamsakas and the Uttara Mimamsakas or the Vedantins will say, no, moksha, that's the real thing. But whatever it is, see that the ultimate goal is not dharma per se, not artha per se, money, not karma per se, although desire for serving Krishna is very good, and not moksha per se. And that might surprise most of the Vaishnavas also when we say moksha is not the ultimate goal. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Krishna Bishayak Prem Param Purusharta Jarage Trinatulla Chari Purusharta. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that love, specifically love, centered on Krishna, the object of whom is Krishna, that is the highest Purusharta. Purusharta means the meaning of life, the meaning of life for every living being. So the ultimate goal of life for every living being is love of Krishna, in comparison with which, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Jarage Tuna Tula Chari Purusharta, in comparison with which, the four goals which are considered, and you'll find again and again in Mahabharata and everywhere, these four goals of life, they're really emphasized. That's what it's all about. Dharma, yes, but why Yudhishthira wants to? Why is he insisting to have a throne? Why? Not that he's interested. He explains. I'm not interested in for my own aggrandizement but because I can't exercise my dharma as a kshatriya unless I have something to rule over. And then for a kshatriya, artha is required. We have artha shastra. That's a guidebook for kshatriyas and for brahmanas, brahmanas guiding them on how to run the state. And it's the kshatriya's duty to see that the state is prosperous. People are living, they have enough to get by with. And then karma, but and then ultimately moksha. But all of these, they can be understood in terms of Krishna consciousness also. They can all be understood in terms of the Parampurusharta. In this way, the Chatur Gati, the four goals, they come ultimately to be the one goal. They can be understood in terms of Krishna consciousness, just like Dharma Swanushtita Pungsang Vishvaksena Katasuya Nodpadiyad Yadi Ratim Shrama Eva Hikevalam. If you follow Dharma very nicely, but we don't get a taste for hearing about Krishna, then it's simply a waste of time. Savai Pungsang Puro Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Hokshaje Ahaitukya Pratihata Yayatma Samprasidati. The ultimate goal of, or the highest dharma for all living beings is that by which one attains to pure, unmotivated, unceasing devotional service to the transcendent Lord. And there are many other statements in this regard regarding dharma. So dharma ultimately means for Krishna. To be Krishna conscious. That is the Jiva Swarup Hoi Krishna Nitya Das, the ultimate form or characteristic or nature of every living being is to be a servant of Krishna, which means his dharma. This line from Chaitanya Charitamrita could have been rendered Jiva Dharma Hoi, but then there might be some confusion that we may think, well, that's because dharma as executed in this world, It can change from life to life or from situation to situation, but swarup, swarupena viva, and then we get to moksha also. Swarup, muktir hitvanyata rupam swarupena vivastiti. The real definition of mukti is to give up all these temporary designated bodies and to be swarup, situated in one's original position, which Bhagavatam goes on to explain, is in the service of Krishna. And karma Krishna karma pane. Narottam Das explains that this lusty desires which bind us in the material world, if they're directed or offered in the service of Krishna, directed for Krishna's service, Krishna karma, then that is pure. And that karma, that it simply means desire, but it's usually understood as material desire. But then we hear about the gopis having karma for Krishna, but that karma is synonymous with prema, pure love of Krishna. So these four goals, or the four purusharthas, the four goals of human life especially, they coalesce in the Chaturgati. They all come to the Ekagati, which is Krishna. They all come to, the ultimate goal is Krishna. Then another understanding is that people worship Krishna or Narayana for different aims, and they can get them. People who worship to attain the post of Indra, they can get it. And then even much higher is Brahma. And then there is impersonal absorption, Kaivalyam, and Moksham, as liberation to Vaikuntha for the sake of serving him. So these, he provides the four goals, and actually so many other goals, but these are four highly rated goals: to become Indra, to become Brahma, to get impersonal liberation, and to get liberated for the sake of serving the Lord in Vaikuntha. Now, another meaning of gati, completely different meaning from the goal of life, is not the goal, it can mean you can have a temporary gati also. Gati, goal, and it also means path. But another meaning is gait, G-A-I-T, gait, how one's form of movement. You can say someone is walking quickly with a fast gait, or a lethargic gait if someone is moving very slowly. In Ramayana, Hanuman, having found Mother Sita, he describes Lord just to show, because she was suspicious. What is this? Naturally, she's suspicious. Hanuman presents himself as a representative of Rama, but she's suspicious. It must maybe one of Ravana's tricks. But Hanuman described Lord Rama to her. One of the descriptions he gave is that he is Chatur Gati. And this is generally described, or this is understood by the commentators to mean one who has the four kinds of gates. And these kind of gates are particularly suitable for Kshatriyas. Now, because everyone walks differently, but even the same person may walk differently at different times. Just like if you're, I've got to get somewhere in a hurry, I've got, you know, very fixed on something, he's not going to be distracted, and he walks in a certain way with intent, purpose to go there, just fixed on that. And then another time he may be walking leisurely, just walking in the countryside, enjoying the countryside. So the different kinds of gait the same person may have. And if we study very scrutinizingly, we may find that each individual has their own individual gait altogether. And if you want to get down to the anatomy, then you'll find that the pelvic joint and the thigh bone are joined at a different angle, and then the muscles and the tendons and the ligaments, and they're all a bit different. It's not exactly in the same place with everyone, and even the way we put our foot on the ground, it won't be at exactly the same angle for everyone. So everyone has their own, and according to the mood, there's the sthayi bhava of the person, his general deportment or mentality, and then again different moods. So everyone moves differently, but there are categorizations of, you see, in the Vedic knowledge, everything is covered. So how a man, these are particularly for men, real men, Kshatriyas, they're the real man types, not the Arnold Schwarzenegger type of man, or Rambo kind of man. Very manly, very strong, but their manliness is for lording over Ishvara Bhava. That's one of the symptoms of a Kshatriya, but the very name Kshatriya means one who protects from hurt. So very lordly and very masculine. Kshatriyas are very, just like we generally we think Rajasthan, men are very manly kind of. Of course, there are different kind of people. There are Brahmanas in Rajasthan also, and Vaishyas come out of there, but the Rajputs, and Rajputs may be in other parts of India also, but especially the Rajasthan, that state in British India was called Rajputan, the area of the Raj. So very proud by nature, proud of their manliness and everything, and they're very strong, sturdy, and very manly. And again, it doesn't mean just like going around and bopping people and knocking them out. It's a controlled strength for the benefit of others. That's the Kshatriyas. Nowadays, I don't know Rajasthan and anywhere, everyone's become wimpish and Well, there are exceptions. But anyway, talking about Lord, let's get back to Lord Rama, how he walks, the four kinds of gaits. And they're all compared to animals and very strong animals and very animals that can be very dangerous to humans. So the first one is Rishabhagati. Lord Rama walks with the walk of a bull, full of pride and exaltation, just like a bull. He's very, very aware. I'm a big, strong bull. Maybe you've seen the bull becomes. He's there among the cows. And, you know, he's big and he's strong. And he knows he's superior. And they can be very dangerous for humans also. Angry, but very dangerous. Then Mata Gaja Gati, the gait of an elephant. And elephants, they generally walk in a measured way. And for a woman, actually, that's also said that her gait is considered very very feminine if she walks like an elephant. But that's a female elephant walking in a way. It's very balanced and delicate. But this is the Mata Gaja Gati, the infuriated elephant, maybe by intoxication or anger, and the way he moves is he's maddened or angry, or maybe by drink also. Elephants they also think that they can get intoxicated. In fact, the battle elephants they used to use for battle, they would be given plenty of rice wine or some other wine, roughly brewed, especially for elephants. They drink that, and then, just like when a man gets intoxicated with alcohol, you lose your sense of discrimination. You become very courageous, even, and you lose your sense of discrimination, which means that even crazily courageous. The elephant is very angry, but it's also very lordly at the same time. His majesty is there also. He's he's not just that he's some drunken slob. So Rama, he moves at different times. He may move with the Mata Gaja Gati, and another one, Vyagra Gati, means the walk of a tiger. And again, a tiger can slink when looking for prey but this particularly refers to the of an angry tiger when he goes, how that tiger moves. You wouldn't want to see. Sometimes people go to the zoo and they see a tiger, but if you see in the forest, it used to be very common all over in most of India. The forests, we find in the descriptions from talking about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, many, many forests. And tigers living in them up until recently. Now they're quite rare. We have in Bengal, Sundarban, beautiful forest. They're living there. Otherwise you don't find, maybe in Assam, hardly you'll find tigers. So Lord Ram moves with the anger of an angry tiger. Maybe that's one reason people are more Krishna conscious. That's one reason people are more Krishna conscious, because there's really danger at every step. If you ever walk through the forest, just like Brajahari Prabhu in Juhu told me, he used to walk to the forest. He had to go through the forest every day to walk to school. There weren't school buses. You may have to. Many of the kids, they used to walk miles and miles every day to school. He had to go through the forest. So he's afraid of tigers. Was it Brajahari who told me that? It was one of those in glimpses of. So, he was told, chant the name of Ram. So he chant the name Ram, Ram, Ram on his walk. Then another, Singhagati, the walk of a lion, with great lordliness, very well knowing that, well, there may be elephants and tigers, but he is ultimately the king of the jungle. And so Lord Rama can move in these different ways, or generally does move. When a kshatriya walks, just like you'll see someone who's there, they're in a high position and they're conscious of it, and they walk in a different way. They walk in a different way to ordinary people. They're very aware of their overlordship, and that others are looking up to them. Look at Srila Prabhupada. He walked like a king. He said that I'm just like a king. And then I act like a king, he said, because I can never be defeated. So Lord Rama has these four gates, and the festival deity in Sri Rangam, he is carried on his palanquin, and the gates, by the way he's carried these four during the festivals, he's brought outside, and he's these four different kinds of gates are emulated by the very expert carriers at different fixed stages different festivals. Now, another meaning, he's the goal of the four goals, or the goal of the four. Shankaracharya takes the word a goal for Gati here and says that he's the goal of the four varnas, and then another one, four ashrams. So whichever ashram we're in, and nowadays in Kali Yuga, no one's properly following Varnashram. Srila Prabhupada wanted to re-establish that, of course. But although they have the four Varnas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, their mentality and their activities are summarized by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. So although they're very different people in many ways, if you see the Brahmana, he's peacefulness is the first quality, and then shamo dhamma, self-control, tapa, shocha, and for the kshatriya, we have viryam, heroism. It's not the same as peacefulness. Heroism is, of course, there can be the heroism of a yogi who conquers over his senses. That's another kind of heroism. But here, heroism, yudhe chapyapalayanam. It's heroism in the classic sense of the term, not running away from battle. And then Vaishya's very different mentality, producing, money-orientated. And Kshudra's also very different mentality, but the goal of all of them is Vishnu. You should also always remember the goal. And for the ashrams, that's why in Vaishnava understanding, although there's certainly a difference between Brahmachari ashram and Grihastha ashram and Vanaprastha ashram and Sannyasa ashram, if one is a Vaishnava, he shouldn't be considered in terms of Varna or ashram primarily. Although, as long as one is not self-realized, one is fully self-realized, and even after that, in most cases, one will continue to follow one's varna roles, ashram roles, but we should know that a Vaishnava is transcendental to all of these. And we shouldn't judge them. We shouldn't think this is a Brahmana Vaishnava, therefore he's higher than a Shudra Vaishnava, because a Vaishnava is above all these roles, but according to the position he's in, the position ascribed to him, he plays a role in society. But really, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Jai bhaje shebara abhaktahino cha, one is known as a Vaishnava according to his devotion. Nicha jati nahe Krishna bhajane ajoga. One is not disqualified, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, from being, from worshipping Krishna by low birth. Nicha jati nahe Krishna bhajane ajoga. Shatko vipranahe bhajane joga, jai bhaje shai bharo bhakta hina cha, Krishna bhajane nahik jat kula adi picha. This consideration of whether one is high birth, low birth, vana anashram, they're not considered in bhakti. Now, considered in one sense from the social standpoint, but actually how much we're advanced in Krishna consciousness, it is not dependent on any external situation. Although, as long as we're in this world, we have to act within it. So we take some position within society, according to the Vedic understanding. So the four varnas and the four ashrams, they're very, brahmachari life is very different in many ways from grihastha life, which is very different in many ways from vanaprastha life. And in vanaprastha life is very different from sannyas life. And the roles of brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, and shudras, they're all different. But the aim of all of them is Krishna. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatana Goswami, Chari barnashrame jadi Krishna nahi bhaje, shakama karite shei rorave parimaje. The followers of the Varnashram institution accept the regulative principles of the four social orders, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, and four spiritual orders, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. However, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if one carries out the regulative principles of these orders, but does not render transcendental service to Krishna, he falls down into a hellish condition of material life. Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita: one may be a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra, or one may perfectly follow the spiritual principles of Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas life, but ultimately one falls down into a hellish condition unless one becomes a devotee. Ultimately, you may say, what? If you're a Brahmana, you become elevated, but ultimately you're going to fall down. Because as if we're not Krishna conscious, then we may get elevated by being a pure Brahmana. Or you can be elevated, that's the whole point of Varnashram, or at least the intermediate point, not the whole point. The whole point is to worship Narayana, as we're discussing. But the intermediate point, or the bait on the hook, is you'll get elevated by properly following. If a Shudra follows his Shudra principles very well, he'll be elevated. He'll get a better birth. So it's true for everyone. So one may be elevated, but ultimately one has to fall down, because by the nature of this material world, one may be elevated, and then you fall down. Nahush was elevated to the position of Indra. He fell down to the body of a snake, because in this material world, there's always the possibility of making a mistake, and material attractions are always there. So one's not in a steady position unless one is fixed in service to Krishna. So ultimately one falls down. Continuing Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse, without developing one's dormant Krishna consciousness, one cannot be factually elevated. It's just like in a prison. There may be different stories to the prison. So you're in the ground floor, and then you get elevated to the third floor, but you're still in prison. So it's elevation in one stage, but the real thing is to get out of the prison. Then, Srila Prabhupada continues, the regulative principles of Varnashram Dharma in themselves are insufficient for attainment of the highest perfection. That is confirmed in the following two quotations from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 5, Text 2 and 3. Mukha Bahuru Padebhya Purushas Yashramai Saha Chatvaro Jagnire Varna Gunaya Vipradeya Pritak. From the mouth of Brahma, the Brahminical order has come into existence. Similarly, from his arms, the Kshatriyas have come. From his waist, the Vaishyas have come. And from his legs, the Shudras have come. These four orders and their spiritual counterparts, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas, combine to make human society complete. Ya esham purusham sakshad atma prabhavam ishvaram nabhajantyavajananti sthanad brashta patantyada. If one simply maintains an official position in the four varnas and ashrams, but does not worship the Supreme Lord Vishnu, he falls down from his puffed-up position into a hellish condition. So these two verses of Srimad Bhagavatam are encapsulated in this short Bengali verse by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chari Barnashrami Jari Krishnanahi Bhaje Shakama Karite Shei Rurave Pari Maje. Then another meaning of Chaturgati. This one is given by our own Gauriya Vaishnava Acharya, Dalade Vidyabhushan. He is the refuge, or the ultimate goal, for the four kinds of devotees, or as they're described in Bhagavad Gita by Krishna himself, Sukriti, pious people. That verse, well-known verse, Chaturvidha Bhajante Manjana Sukriti Narjuna Artho Jignyasur Artarti Gyanicha Bharatarshaba. Four kinds of people, four kinds of pious people approach me, Krishna says. They start to do devotional service. They are the distressed, the desirous person who wants money, the inquisitive, and a person in knowledge. So he is the goal of all of them. They go to him. So in this way, he can be called Chaturgati. Another meaning that Baladev gives, according to this, is that he has pastimes in the four abodes, Gokul, Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwaraka. So Gokul and Vrindavan, they're both within Vraja Mandal, and Krishna lived in both of those places during his appearance in this world, and then he went to Mathura and then to Dwaraka, and then again the meaning is given of the four kinds of gates. Sadhya Sandar Yati Raj. Ah yes, he quotes that verse. Okay. Examples given of these four devotees. This is coming from the Madhva commentary of these four kinds of devotees. The Artha Jignyasa Artharti Jnani. Now they give the examples. Someone to get rid of their distresses. There's a typo here. It says diseases. It should be distresses. The example is Gajendra. To fulfill desire about the knowledge of God, because there's Uddhava. Sometimes it's said that Uddhava, he is a devotee, great devotee. Naivatma yatha bhavan. Krishna tells Uddhava that I don't even love myself as much as I love you. Natata me priyatama atma yonena shankaraha. Nacha sankarshano na shriya naivatma cha yata bhavan. He says to Uddhava that, Brahma is born from me. Natata me priyatama atma yonena shankara. very dear, the greatest Vaishnava, Vaishnavanang Yata Shambhu. My brother, Balaram Sankarshan, and even my wife, Sri Lakshmi. And even my very self, I don't love as much as I love you, but Uddhava is classified among the devotees who had great knowledge. He was inquisitive to understand about Krishna, and therefore we have Uddhava Gita. It's different to Bhagavad Gita, in which Arjuna, he didn't want to be instructed in any philosophy. He just wanted to get out of the fight, that's all. And he offered some reasons. He didn't realize what he was getting himself into. He's trying to teach dharma to Krishna, and instead Krishna taught him dharma. But Uddhava was actually very desirous to know, and therefore Krishna explained to him in detail. We'll find that in the Uddhava Gita. So he's counted as the Jignyasu. One Jignyasu literally means one who inquires, and Uddhava was inquiring from Krishna. And not just about bhakti yoga, but jnana yoga and the different siddhis that are so many things you'll find in the Uddhava Gita. Then to obtain wealth and kingdom and all this kind of thing, the example is Sugriva from Ramayana, and to jnani, one who's in knowledge of God, is the example of Prahlad. He simply loved him. He got knowledge of God from Narada when he was in the womb of his mother, Kayadu, and he was just from the very beginning of his birth in this world, just completely in love with Krishna. Then another meaning given here by the Madhva Sampradaya is called Chaturgati, because he bestows the four kinds of destiny or moksha. These are they're called the technical terms here. They are on karma kshaya, which means these are the four destinations. They're stages in the process of becoming liberated from this world. So karma kshaya, destruction of one's karmic reactions and karmic activities, involvement in material life. Then technically called this is derived from the Brahma Sutra. Four phases described respectively in each of the four sections in the last chapter of the Brahma Sutra. So the first one is karma kshaya, the destruction of all karma, including prarabdha. Then utkranti, up and out, the exit of the soul from the gross and subtle bodies. Then marga, margapada, the path toward the final destination, and bhogapada, which means enjoyment in the spiritual world, in the four kinds of liberation. And these, they say, these four correspond to salokya, samipya, sarupya, and sayurja. One can attain these four kinds of liberation, and they don't consider sarshti having the same opulences of the Lord, which is a bit of a controversial point because they do accept Srimad Bhagavatam, which that is explained, but anyway, that's what we have. And that is Chaturgati. Whatever we are doing, wherever we are going, keeping the goal in mind. That was a saying of that Seven Habits, Stephen Covey. Start with the goal in mind. So he distilled wisdom from many sources, and he came up with some wisdom rules for people of the modern world. So one of his seven habits of highly effective people was start with the goal in mind. So whatever we're doing, wherever we're going, always remember our goal of life is Krishna. Wherever we may be, a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, we may be a shudra, we may be a vaishya, we may be a kshatriya, we may be a brahmana, we may not be in any of these, from any of these backgrounds, just like myself coming from Western society, we should always remember that wherever we are, wherever we're doing, wherever we're going, we should know that we really want to go to the lotus feet of Krishna. So he is the goal of our life in all times, places. Yatra sarvatra sarvada. Our goal of life is Krishna, Chaturgati, Hare Krishna. Vanta kalpatarubhyas charkipa sindubhyavija padita anam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nitaya trunakang padayoni patya kutvacha kakushatameta daham bravimi. Hey sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat goranga chandra charane kuruta anuragaha. Parivaditu jano yata tatava nanamukaro navayang vicharayamaha. Hari rasa madira madati bata bhuvi vilutama natama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.